in southern Turkey, hundreds of thousands of people wonder if it's safe to go home after the earthquakes there nearly 2 weeks ago. Now engineers are fanning out across that quake zone, equipped with hard hats and phone apps to inspect buildings. NPR's Jason Beaubien followed along with one of those engineers for a glimpse at their mammoth task.
A civil engineer named Yasin Panarbasha from the Turkish capital clomps across debris in the ground floor of a four-story building near the hard-hit city of Antakya. The building has shops at street level and apartments on the upper floors. Unlike many structures that have collapsed in the area, this one is still standing. The apartments appear from the outside to be intact, but Panarbasha points out that a support pillar on the ground floor is crumpled where it connects to the beam above it.
These are very typical damages on the columns, which we call unrepairable.
This building has several columns that are damaged, but Panarbasha says that if even one is broken, there's a risk of collapse.
In this kind of buildings, if one column or some of the columns are damaged like this, the loads are transferred to the other columns. Now they are overstressed.
He says we should probably get out of this building fairly quickly. Panarbasha has been assigned to a specific zone, trying to inspect 60 buildings per day. In a winter jacket, jeans, and hiking boots, he's one of hundreds of Turkish engineers who have volunteered for this work. He has an app on his phone with every building marked on a map. The ones that haven't yet been inspected are white. Once a building has been checked, it shows up as green. If a building has already collapsed, he simply enters destroyed in the app and moves on.
This is another building to examine for us.
The next building on his list is a restaurant with a large garden that serves as a wedding venue. There's some damage to the plaster on the front of the building, which may or may not indicate a problem.
There are some cracks on the separating walls, but not on the beams and columns.
He's not concerned about these cracks. Then he goes to the back of the building.
For example, we need to look here, because there's a column at this corner.
He uses a hammer to chip away the plaster that's covering the column.
We can see some cracks on the concrete column. You see there?
This does concern him. In addition, the concrete of the columns crumbles easily when he hits it with his hammer.
You'll see how easy it is.
But that is simply builders not paying for good concrete. What is that what the problem is
probably,
there?
Probably, yeah. Poor quality of concrete, poor amount of reinforcement maybe, and poor design, structural design.
Panarbasha opens the app on his phone. He uploads a couple of photos of the building, enters an estimate of the square footage and year of construction. Then he classifies it as moderately damaged.
Okay, that's all. This was an easy one.
Nationwide, there's been outrage in Turkey over buildings that collapsed in the disaster due to shoddy construction, poor building materials, and contractors failing to comply with building codes. Some new apartment buildings that were advertised as being built to the highest international earthquake standards crumpled in the 7.8 magnitude quake. In addition to tens of thousands of buildings that collapsed, Turkish officials say 50,000 more need to be demolished. Up the hill from the restaurant, Panarbasha moves on to a gray four-story apartment building. It sits by itself on a hillside, surrounded by olive trees. From the outside, it looks unscathed. When Panarbasha knocks and tries the buzzers, no one answers.
I think they're leaving over there.
It turns out that several of the residents have moved into a barn behind the building.
Hoş geldiniz.
Samir Kanar and three of his kids come out to talk to Panarbasha. They say they're afraid to go in the building and had been waiting for an official inspector. Speaking through an interpreter, Samir Kanar says the building had been occupied by his extended family, but none of them have slept inside since the earthquake.
The earthquake we experienced and the difficulties we experienced, it is very hard psychologically to use our houses. We can't endure it, and I have a daughter 2.5 years old. When she comes close to the house, she starts crying.
They think the building is tilted.
Kanar opens the building for Panarbasha to inspect it, and we go with him.
So here in the kitchen on the ground floor of this building, you can see how violently things shook, but
glass jars are smashed all over the floor. All of the cabinets are open. The fridge is thrown open. You can see that this building definitely shook quite hard, but there are no cracks in any of the walls that we can see here.
So we don't see any damage, but we don't say that it's safe to people here. We only look at the cracks and send this information to the government, and they will decide what to do.
Panarbasha says people throughout the quake zone are traumatized. On the second floor, family photos and broken glass are strewn across the floor. Gunal Kanar, standing in the bedroom where she was sleeping when the quake hit, describes laying over her four children to try to protect them.
Is she afraid to move back in here now?
Çok korkuyorum sanırım. Yani bir daha oturacağımı sanmıyorum burada. Çünkü dört çocukla ben nasıl çıkacağım birden bir şey olursa?
I don't think that I will live here again. How can I get out of the building with four kids? Which one of them am I going to choose to pick up?
After going back out front, Gunal and her sister-in-law, Gamze Kanar, say that even if the building is declared safe, they don't want to live again in a multi-story concrete building.
They say there are still aftershocks. We are very afraid. We are very afraid for our children.
The problem here is larger than structural engineering. It's about fear and anxiety and a lack of confidence in the way buildings have been constructed. Gunal Kanar says she hopes to build a small steel frame house on the property, just one story. She says she would even prefer to live in a shipping container rather than go back into the apartment behind her. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Samandağ, Turkey.